Welcome to the Data Guru Podcast. We're your hosts, Scarlett Burks
and Laurel Wilhelm Volpe. We will trade off hosting duties this year to bring you a wide range of data experts discussing audience strategy, emerging trends,
and practical ways to boost campaign performance.
Hello, I'm Scarlett Burks. Welcome to this episode of the Data Guru Podcast, focused on the hot markets of Mexico and Latin American countries that we like to reference as LATAM. As always, I'm joined by our favorite data guru, Linda Harrison, and we're really excited to have Ben Peck, Axiom's VP LATAM, as our featured guest. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Great. Tell us a little bit about your background and your role at Axiom.
My background, that's an interesting one. I'll try not to go back too far, but I grew up in the mountains in the western side of Virginia in the Shenandoah Valley, which is a gorgeous place. If you've never had the chance to go there, I recommend it. I grew up there, and then after undergrad, also in Virginia, I spent 2 years in the Peace Corps. Cool. So I was a community economic development Peace Corps volunteer in the Dominican Republic, where I lived in a very, very small community with a single paved road, limited water, limited electricity. It was a fantastic experience. And that's where I really fell in love with Latin America, fell in love with the Spanish language, just the way people relate to one another. It's a great culture. And when I came back from the Peace Corps, I went to get my master's degree, my MBA at Thunderbird, which is a well-known international business school out in Phoenix, Arizona. Met my future wife there. She's from Venezuela. And we relocated after graduation up to the Northeast to Connecticut. And I got a job working at IBM. I spent 6 years at IBM, had a number of different roles. Market research probably wasn't my strongest skill set, but I did that for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then I was fortunate to join the IBM's corporate strategy team. I call it Big S or capital S strategy. It's a team of about maybe 20 people or so who do all the big strategy work for IBM. What kind of companies are going to be in 5-10 years? And I got to do a lot of really interesting projects on competition, coopetition, how to do business in China. At that stage, IBM was just getting into cloud computing, so got to be a part of the cloud computing strategy, and that was fascinating. And after about 6 years there, it was time to try something new, and a friend of mine from IBM who had since left joined Mediabrands. He was the CTO at Mediabrands at the time, and he brought me over to Mediabrands, and that was in July 2012. And it's been a ride ever since. Since about that time, it was, I think, the Mediabrands website. It was fairly new, or it had just been redone. I don't exactly recall. Mm-hmm. But I spent 8 years at Mediabrands in lots of different roles, but always straddling the space between technology teams and either clients themselves or client-facing account teams. Lots of custom solutions, and it was a really exciting time to be at Mediabrands. It was when ad tech was really picking up the pace. A lot of investment, a lot of interesting projects, and you got to see the way that clients were starting to think differently about how data and tech in general was finding a spot within marketing and media. One thing led to another, and then I was fortunate enough to be part of the team working on the integration of Axiom into IPG, which is when I got to know a lot more about the Axiom products and solutions, got to know the people here, the executive leadership team. And then I decided it was time to put my love of LATAM together with my love of data and tech. And then January of last year, made the switch over to Axiom to help lead our expansion efforts into Mexico and, more broadly speaking, the rest of the LATAM region.
Well, very cool. What a fabulous wealth of travels and experience that
it's
brought
been fun.
It, brought us
it's
to
been a whole
brought
lot of
you
fun.
To us. Yeah.
It's been a blast.
So is this how you keep your Spanish up to snuff? By having a wife who's Venezuelan?
Yeah, well, it certainly helped. One of the fascinating things about LATAM is the Spanish dialects are very, very different in every language. A word in one country, which might mean grocery bag, might mean, you know, something offensive, perhaps in another country. So when my wife and I met, I spoke Dominican Spanish, which was decidedly different from Venezuelan Spanish, mm-hmm. even they're both Caribbean nations. For the past 16 years now, she's been gradually turning me into a Venezuelan Spanish speaker. And then last year, with travels every other week to Mexico, my Mexican Spanish started to creep in. And so now it's kind of hard to identify which Spanish I speak. People generally tend to say it's a Caribbean Spanish, but it's a mix. You know, here at home, it's kind of whatever comes out first is the language you speak. It's the same way we have three kids. And some words are always in Spanish. Some words are always in English. To answer your question, that's one of the ways I keep it up to snuff.
Great.
Start out by telling us why it is that Axiom is paying attention to LATAM right now, Ben.
Well, that's a great question. It's a really interesting place to be from a data, from a MarTech, from an ad tech perspective. I've frequently described it as you have the data volumes and the data needs that you have in the US, if you think about it on a per capita basis, the data volumes are likely the same. And if you think about the way lots of developing nations have developed, they sort of leapfrogged over landlines and copper and went straight to cell phones and fiber optics. In LATAM, you sort of skipped over the whole offline data phenomenon that you might have had in the US for 50 or 60 years, which with really clean, crisp physical addresses. House addresses in Latin America can be a little bit of an adventure. But in LATAM, you have a gigantic digital footprint. Everything from, you know, mobile phones, smartphones, tablets. You have giant digital footprints being left by people from, you know, WhatsApp and Facebook are hugely influential, but you don't have the kind of e-commerce, or at least you didn't before the pandemic. You didn't have that big of an e-commerce sector, perhaps, as you did in the United States. But that's all changing. So you have the data volumes that you have in the U.S. on a per capita basis. That's anecdotal, right? I don't have a statistic to point to that. But you don't have the provider ecosystem that you do in the US. All the different players, all the pipes, those are fairly new and coming. And so what we're presented with is a really interesting environment where you have massive amounts of data that need to be managed and optimized. You've got some disruptive trends that are coming about in the industry that need to be addressed. And you've got a fairly nascent, you know, no disrespect at all to any of the amazing MarTech and AdTech players that are in the region, but it's just not as developed and mature, I suppose, as it is in the US or other parts of the world. And so that just presents a tremendous opportunity, I think, for Axiom to help brands meet the needs of today's marketing world, help them optimize their first party data, help them find new ways to target individual people through precision marketing strategies. We're in a bit of an inflection point, I think, broadly speaking. But just given the maturity of the bigger ecosystem in LATAM, there's a lot of exciting things that are happening, and brands and partners in the region are all asking the right questions. They're all thinking about what to do next. It's pretty exciting.
Well, not only did LATAM skip the direct mail type universe, they also skipped the desktop, right? Yep. Very few people have a laptop or use a desktop. It's really more mobile in nature. Mm-hmm. So Axiom has a lot of mobile audiences in LATAM, in Brazil, in Argentina, and Mexico. So things about what people are using on their device, what apps they've downloaded, things like that are really important and can help drive that conversation, help find our advertisers, find the right people for the right things, which is what it's all about at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Some of the some of the conversations I've been having with clients just in the past couple of weeks has been to how you use mobile phones to communicate with people more precisely and with greater accuracy and with a more relevant message. So a lot of that can start with things like audiences that are based on mobile behavior. And when we talk about audiences of people on mobile phones, you also get in that really rich set of data around geolocation information. So while LATAM might have skipped over direct mail, for example, out-of-home digital billboards are huge. Billboards are all over Latin America, and being able to tie together something like a digital out-of-home property with some sort of experience that someone might have on their mobile phone later on that day, later on in another week, or even at home through some sort of connected TV, the pretty interesting use cases, and all of the data exists. That's a great point, Linda.
All right. Well, let's deep dive for a minute into the overall state of marketing in Mexico. What can you tell us about that, Ben, and about the offerings that Axiom has there?
Well, I think the overall state of marketing in Mexico and in LATAM, I think, like I mentioned a little bit ago, is at a bit of an inflection point. The volumes of data that we have are helping marketers sort of realize what is possible, and that makes a big difference. And the fact that consumers are expecting personalized experiences and relevant offers sends very clear signals that brands need to learn how to deliver to a consumer what that consumer expects. And that's the case whether it's a product or that's the case whether it's an experience. And so you've just got a tremendous amount of activity happening in the region as brands who have been collecting volumes, massive volumes of data over time, are just now figuring out how to use it. And a lot of the data is very robust. Some of it perhaps mm-hmm. might need to be cleaned up a little bit. And some of the strategies moving forward for how to continue to collect this kind of data in a privacy compliant and secure way that aligns with ethical use and the local regulatory environment is something all the brands are asking about, and consumers are paying attention.
Would you say that Mexico is the hottest market in the LATAM overall area, or is that not a fair statement?
I think LATAM's a bit of a, well, lots of places are a two-sided coin, and you know, it's kind of hard to give a one-word answer. I'd say that Brazil has the biggest market. Okay. Brazil, in just looking at sheer size of ad spend, mm-hmm. spend per person, Brazil is the biggest market. Brazil also is a very complex market. Some of the there are some privacy regulations that are in place that are similar in complexity to what we see in Europe, Brazilian GDPR, which really started coming into effect, I think it was in 2020, or it was passed in 2019 and really started to make a splash in 2020. And so that's the biggest market. But when we look at Mexico, and perhaps by virtue of long-lasting trade agreements with the U.S., with mm-hmm. NAFTA and the tight relationship between Mexico and the United States, you have in Mexico what is what I'll call a more complete ecosystem. The spend might not be what it is in Brazil. It is a smaller country, but the ecosystem of addressable media players, telecom, publishers, television stations, you've got it's a little bit more of a complete picture. And in that sense, maybe a little bit easier to plug into if you're a player in the space like Axiom or,
right.
or like other companies. It's perhaps not quite as different. And then I think after Mexico and Brazil, you kind of move clockwise around South America, and you hit mm-hmm. Argentina, then you hit Chile, and then you move up the coast to, you know, Peru and ultimately to Colombia, and you have kind of a diminishing or a pretty steep drop off in ad spend and activity of the market. And that's not to say that there aren't hugely influential players in every single market. You have absolutely massive, really impressive companies like Grupo Falabella, located out of Chile, who are, I think, the world's ninth largest retail company. They're massive. Yeah. They're across the whole region. They're based out in Chile. In Argentina, you have Mercado Libre, which is a massive e-commerce player with travel services, delivery services. They're also a fintech. And you get into Colombia and you see companies like Rappi, which is kind of a combination of Uber Eats, DoorDash, and TaskRabbit, just a massive multi-services home delivery, whether it's picking up a burger at a restaurant or picking up dry cleaning or grocery shopping.
Yeah.
You've got these massive companies that are hugely influential in every market, but country by country, it's clockwise, I think, around the continent.
Let's talk about what countries Axiom can help people with today, because we can't do that full clock right now, digitally anyway.
Right.
So let's talk about Mexico. So for Mexico, I have a more full offering. You know, I have InfoBase, which is our known information about individuals and households, and I have some geographical information, and some things are rolled up at a geo level as well. Right. And then I also have Axiom Semantics, which is about what people are reading about online. And then I also have Axiom Mobile. And so that's really the full core of the trifecta I have for Mexico.
The trifecta. I'll have to use that in my next pitch. I think that's a good one. you're right. And that speaks to the Mexico is the most complete circle. We have the trifecta in the most complete market. That makes a ton of sense. And what I've been seeing from clients in Mexico is there's a lot of interest in the entire trifecta. I think we've seen lots of interest in InfoBase. Being able to create and activate people-based audiences is very compelling, especially for brands who historically haven't been in the PII space, enabling their own first-party data audiences. InfoBase is a great way to do that. Semantic has been hugely popular and quite successful, I'll add, in Mexico. There's a lot of interest on, yes, it's great to target individual people, right, through InfoBase and people-based audiences. But when we want to enable precision targeting based on exhibited known behavior, people who are consuming certain kinds of content online in a way that's far more precise or broad, can be more broad than more traditional contextual targeting, semantics is very, very powerful for in-market automobile shoppers, for example, people who are comparing different automobile brands or different nameplates within a brand. It can be great.
Or just a specific brand, right? So a contextual audience may not have exactly what we're looking for,
right?
Because they tend to be very broad in nature. So our semantic come in really well in that market, right? And then Axiom Mobile, we've touched on that a little bit already about, you know, what are you doing on your phone? What apps do you have downloaded? Are you using them quite a bit? And then let's talk about Brazil. They're a little bit more of a challenge country for us.
And I wish I could put my finger on just exactly why. And I think there's certainly a language barrier with Brazil. They're the only Portuguese-speaking country in South America. And so there is a natural tendency to gravitate towards the Spanish-speaking countries. We historically think of LATAM as a Spanish-speaking region. It isn't. I'm not a strong Portuguese speaker at all. I can understand most of what I hear. So that's my own tendency. I'm projecting perhaps a little bit. But I think the way media is bought and sold and activated in Brazil is quite different. There are some very, very strong, very influential local media networks in Brazil that dominate a good bit of the market. And just by simple virtue of Brazil being, while very large and influential, perhaps culturally and because of the language, Brazil has, I think, developed a lot of their own offerings in some cases that do work quite well. But it is, I would agree with you, Linda, it's more of a challenge country. I can't quite figure it out.
I think it's the privacy and the language combined, right? So we have an Exacta box. So back to my horse racing days for Brazil. So we have InfoBase and we have Axiom Mobile. We don't have semantic offerings there today. You know, we keep trying, but we're not there yet. And then, you know, with the changes in the world of digital advertising, we may never get there for Brazil. Now, Argentina. Por favor.
Por favor. I'll say on Brazil, of all the countries in Latin America, we have more coverage in InfoBase, 98% of the adult population. Mexico is 91%, and Argentina, por favor, is, I think, around 94%, 95%. Argentina is, I would love to get more traction in Argentina as we, again, go back to my clock analogy, as we work our way around the clock and get down to maybe it's 5 o'clock, 4:30. We'll be in Argentina, and we have mobile in Argentina. We have InfoBase in Argentina, which, as I said, about 94%. And our people-based audiences perform well in Argentina. I think there's been a tremendous amount of political and economic upheaval in Argentina over the last 12 to 18 months, which I think, as one might expect, well, the whole world's been flipped upside down for the last 12 months. And I'm sure you've heard that from everybody. Argentina's been no exception. Political upheaval. There's been some pretty, pretty challenging inflationary trends, which has, I think, caused a stagnation in investment. But InfoBase remains compelling for building of audiences. And again, back to mobile. I love mobile. There's mobile phones tell you a lot about what people do. And what I like, one of the things, Linda, I like about mobile is the automobile, the auto audiences, where because of how we pair our phones via Bluetooth with automobiles, we can develop audiences of people who have paired their phones with a specific kind of car, which, again, great for targeting individual people with a very specific offer that's going to be relevant for them.
Exactly.
That leads to a great question for you, Linda, just thinking about kind of a two-parter here. Give us some real-world examples of audiences you've built for the LATAM countries that we've just been talking about, and kind of which industries are most prevalent, I guess, in terms of marketing.
Yeah, so e-commerce is hot mm-hmm. in LATAM, as our guest, Ben, has mentioned several times. So e-commerce is huge there. So free delivery is a key mm-hmm. care about in LATAM countries, even more so than in the U.S. Sometimes we're more willing to pay for shipping, right? And cars, because we're talking, larger ticket items, trying to get more intent data and get people to actually purchase. Mm-hmm. And I've also had some things where we're just trying to identify income. So trying to find people who have the capacity for the purchase, right? Because there are some regions of these countries that do have some socioeconomic issues, and you don't want to go after people for things that they can't buy, right? So let's talk to the people who have that capacity and the propensity to purchase and hit them several times because, as we say, in my world, you have to tell me 7 times at least something before I actually hear it and pay attention to it.
Don't tell my kids that, Linda.
I told you once. Right? I'm not telling you again. Well, in digital advertising, I'm going to tell you again and again and again because repetition is key, right? Yes. So those are the types of things that we're doing is mm-hmm. larger ticket items, e-commerce. We're trying to get maybe some subscriptions, and then some movie and viewership type things, right? So who's most likely to be watching this type of programming, whether it be from your traditional sitcoms to zombie apocalypse, right? So whatever strikes your fancy, there's an audience for that.
Linda, I've been meaning to tell you, one of the things I like about Axiom Semantic is because it gives us such a nice glimpse into what kind of content they're consuming, we can learn things like whether someone is or isn't likely to go to a movie theater. And we can perhaps deduce things like income levels, which can be challenging because, and in Mexico and Brazil, it's a fact across the entire region, huge percentages of the population do not have a bank account or do not have credit cards. And these are people who are, by and large, omitted from the kinds of digital audiences that require some sort of digital transaction record. And you're starting to see people using some of these person-to-person payment platforms or fintechs where you can charge up your mobile phone with cash at some sort of point of sale and then use your phone to make these e-commerce transactions with companies like Mercado Libre or with Amazon. But something like a movie theater, it's a perfect example. You're not going to get that from a credit card transaction. You're going to get it from someone looking online for which theaters are open, what their COVID protocols might be, and then they go there and they pay for their ticket with cash. But you can having that trifecta, to borrow your word again, helps us be able to get to people with something relevant, even if they're not able to make a digital transaction.
Agree totally. And the other thing with semantics and this ability to see what people are looking at today is you get a really good insight into as they're going into the market for a product and then when they're out of it. So right. if you've already bought, you're going to stop reading content about that, except for maybe at a different level, like maybe a user guide and things like that. But you're not doing the same level of research as when you're in the gathering stage to make that major purchase.
Okay, Ben, we touched on this a little earlier, but talk to us about how Axiom navigates being compliant and privacy regulations in LATAM.
First and foremost, Axiom does in LATAM what Axiom does in every other market around the world is it's 100% compliance 100% of the time. And if there's any shadow of a doubt, don't do it.
Yeah.
We have the same team of exceptional professionals in the U.S. who keep abreast of all the changes in the privacy regulations in the U.S. and in Europe and around the globe. They also focus on Latin America. The laws change pretty frequently. I think the advantage we have in LATAM and probably is appreciated by our team of attorneys and legal and, you know, ethical and privacy folks is the, by and large, many of the decisions in LATAM are being heavily influenced by what has already been done in Europe. And so while it might not be called GDPR, it's a local version or a local interpretation of GDPR. So there are changes and adjustments in the margins. By and large, though, I believe the frameworks are starting to coalesce mm-hmm. around a certain way of doing things. And there might be, like I said, some fuzziness on the edges where in Mexico, it might be different than Brazil. And together, they're some version or slightly different from the UK, but it's not night and day. And, you know, what's nice also is some of the big regional players, big regional enterprises who are based in a single market, they're looking for not 18 different sets of regulatory compliance. They're sort of picking the one that is the most comprehensive, and they're building their solutions and their strategies to that. So you're seeing regional companies really stepping up and putting in place their own set of compliance standards that align to a pretty rigorous bar. And I think setting that bar high is going to be good in the long run. And it certainly enables a large company to plan for the future with some amount of predictability instead of reacting to 17 or 18 evolving sets of regulatory legislation.
Okay, this is going to be a little bit of a lightning round for you, but what trends and insights do you foresee for LATAM in the next 5 years? Just give us your top three.
First-party data. Mm-hmm. Activating first-party data in the digital world. Yep. And I think that's it.
No, that was easy.
You know, as a And because we are talking about Data Guru and we have talked about semantic and mobile and Infobase, figuring out the role that third-party data plays in an identity and a first-party data strategy is hugely important. We're seeing it in Mexico where we have a strong Infobase offering. We've seen it in Brazil, of course, where we have a strong Infobase. Where there is third-party data, brands are figuring out how to combine it in with their first-party data. And I think I'll give you a fourth, which is probably going to be CDPs. I think CDP is becoming pretty popular, and that's to be expected when you take first party data and start optimizing it for use in the digital ecosystem. CDPs can really help out there, and also, of course, helping you integrate that third party data.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up with a question I'll pose to each of you. Tell us the most common question you get from clients when you're building audiences or implementing one of our solutions outside the U.S.
Linda, you want to go first?
I have people who want to mirror exactly the same segments universally, which we'd love to be able to do that, but in some cases, we just can't. Not all the same sources are available in every country. Mm-hmm. And there's nuances, as Ben has said. So we do what we can, but you have to realize the maturity of data, the access to data, the laws regarding it are a little bit different. So we try and find that middle ground so that everybody's happy.
I'd say when we're talking about audiences, the first question is, how do you do it? The second question, which is followed quickly by, can you do it? which leads to a really interesting discussion on security and privacy. And then I'll get a question, does it really work? And how much does it cost? And those are pretty common questions. And not surprising in a region where free audiences, free cookie-based audiences delivered through platforms has been the way things have been done for a very, very long time. The kinds of audiences that Axiom has, people-based audiences, precision persona-based audiences, are fairly new, and they have an incremental cost. When we talk about the value and the performance, clients and brands tend to get over the sort of, they can get past that, we can help them get past some of the differences, and it ends up being a real successful, fun project.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for joining us today. This was just a great conversation, and I'm sure we'll have you back at some point, Ben, to keep on talking about it.
Happy to. We should do it in Spanish next time.
Oh my, I'm in trouble. Thank you.
Thank you.